Wow. You know, putting in simple terms, just think if you could talk to an unsaved person and say, you know what? You can have God living in your body. They'd say, really? Really? You can have God living in your body? Yes. Exactly. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the body of the person who, in repentant faith, accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that Holy Spirit will dwell within that body until the day of redemption, in which that day of redemption, the Bible tells us the whole, our body will be resurrected and our salvation will be completed. But we're going to talk about this person of the Holy Spirit that dwells in the body of a believer. Now, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, no wonder Apostle Paul says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Exactly. Because if you don't have the person of the Holy Spirit living in you, that means you have not yet repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you are lost. And you are without hope. And you are in your sins. But when a person trusts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within them. But today we would like to focus on who this Holy Spirit is. You know, how would I get across what I'm trying to say? Or I'm going to try to say. You know, you think about Jesus as a person, don't you? Right? You think of Jesus as a person. And we have no problem relating to that. You know, I think about, we just read a couple weeks ago in John 21 that Jesus recommissioned his disciples, and the disciples had gone fishing, and the resurrected Christ now goes to Galilee, and he's on the shoreline, and he says, you know, cast your nets on the other side of the ship. And they said, we toiled all night, we got nothing, there's nothing in this lake today. You know what I mean? And he says, cast it to the right, and they throw their nets to the right side, and it's just 153 big fish, not little ones. You know? Finally, they recognize that it's Jesus. You know what I mean? They saw one of the disciples, hey, that's Jesus. Jesus is here. And the Bible says that Simon Peter grabs his coat and jumps in the water because he was immodest. And he was ashamed of himself. And he jumped in the lake. Well, that's because the person, the Lord Jesus, is a person. But let me ask you a question. How many Christians act like that around the Holy Spirit? How many Christians act like that around the Holy Spirit? I think the issue is because we do not correctly think as we ought to of the Holy Spirit as a person. We think of him more as an influence. We think of him more as, you know, the strengthening power of God, a lot of good things. But we don't think of him as a person. And the key to a personal relationship with God is having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, let's think about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we know the Father is a person, and we think of the Son as a person, but the Holy Spirit? Now, turn with me to John chapter 14. And if you're an English grammarian, you realize that there are such things as personal pronouns. There's masculine personal pronouns, and there's feminine personal pronouns, etc. And then there's the neuter pronouns, the it. But in John chapter 14, like many other places, the Lord Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit and how he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to dwell within the believer. But notice in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance at whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, it's interesting. If you analyze this verse, it says, but the Comforter, which is a masculine noun, which is the Holy Ghost, and that ghost is, the word ghost is neuter in Greek, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. It didn't say it will teach you all things. It says he will teach you all things. And over, we find in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit is referred to as a he, a person, not an it. He says, verse 16, and I will give you another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. Another comforter. Another comforter just like me. That's what that means. Just like me. Different than me, but just like me. He's called the Comforter. A person who comes alongside to encourage us, strengthen us, to help us in our Christian life. It's in he. Now, when you think about a person, you think about the marks of personhood. What other marks of personhood? Well, a personhood is revealed by having a will. Personhood is revealed by having emotions. Personhood is revealed by having an intellect. Personhood is revealed by having a moral consciousness. Well, you think about all of those aspects of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has an intellect. He knows the things of the Spirit of God. He has a mind. He knows the things of the Spirit of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 is talking about the giving of the Bible. But here's a great verse, verse 10, 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. But who knows them? But the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who knows the thing. Well, we just say, well, that's just obvious. Yes. But it's revealing the Holy Spirit as a person. He knows. He has a mind. He has a will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very interesting verse. We've read this verse, you know it. But he has a will. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, but all these things worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Holy Spirit has a will. It's revealed by the fact that he says to the Corinthians, he gave gifts as he willed. He had a will. He uses his will. He exercises his will. He has a will. You know, what makes you a person? You have a mind. You can think. You know things. You have a will. You have a decider. You decide what you're going to do. You decide. Mankind is amazing. God made man in his image. Well, you'd think, well, God too is a person. And man is a person. He has an intellect. He has a will. You and I are born with a will. We choose. We choose our destiny. No one chooses it for us. We choose our destiny. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Holy Spirit has emotions. Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Now, if you're a parent, your child does something wrong, you're grieved. I mean, that's part of the fact that you're a person. You have emotions. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Tells us some specific things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It displeases him. It upsets him. Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit has a sense of morality. The Bible tells us in John chapter 16 that the worldwide ministry of the Holy Spirit is to make people aware of sin. John 16 and verse 8. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he, again, personal pronoun, he will reprove the world of sin He will reprove. He will convince. He will show the world of sin. He has a moral consciousness. There is a right and wrong. Man has a moral consciousness. God's Holy Spirit has all the parts of a person. He has intellect. He has a will. He has emotions. He has a moral consciousness. Do you think of the Holy Spirit as a person? Do you think of the Holy Spirit as a person? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, when a person who claims to be a Christian is conscious of things that maybe they shouldn't do when people are there, but aren't conscious of things when people aren't there, obviously aren't very conscious of the Holy Spirit as a person. Holy Spirit is a person. Think about the functions of the Holy Spirit that would be ascribed only to a person. We're in John chapter 16. It says the Holy Spirit hears. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. We read these verses, but we don't really think about what it's saying. Holy Spirit hears what the Father says. You know, it's easy for us to think about John 17, when Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, "The words that thou hast given me, I have given to them." We can figure that out. We think of him as a person. But oftentimes we don't think of the Holy Spirit as a person. Here it says he hears what the Father says, and he shall speak. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 8, it tells us that the Holy Spirit witnesses. You know, we don't have any problem. You know, we're going to go to court and we're going to call some witnesses. And those witnesses are going to come to the court and they're going to say, "Yep. So-and-so was not at that place on such-and-such a date. He was here on such-and-such a date. I testify that to be true." Well, we understand that people can be our witness. You know, they witness for us. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, what does it say? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, there's a story told of a man who got in an accident. He was saved and definitely saved, and he got in an accident and he lost his complete memory. Can't remember anything took place in his life before that accident. And after the accident, they said, "Are you saved?" He says, "Yep, I'm saved." He says, "Well, when were you saved?" "I don't know." "How were you saved?" "I don't know." He says, "How do you know you're saved?" He says, "I know I'm saved." You know why he knew he was saved? Because the accident didn't take away the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit was witnessing to his spirit that he was the child of God. Now, just for sake of time, think of this. The Apostle Paul, he was on his missionary journey. And the Holy Spirit forbid him to go into Asia. Oh. Don't go there. Oh, we'd say, well, that's what a person does, right? Don't go there. No, I'm not going to let you go there. The Bible says the Holy Spirit forbid him. Acts chapter 9 talks about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We have no problem when someone comes up to us and says, you know, hey, don't worry, brother, we're on, you know, we're just standing with you, you know. Oh, Bible says Holy Spirit comforts. Holy Spirit, the Bible says, strives with man. Man's trying to go this way. And Holy Spirit says, don't go that way. Don't go that way. You know, a person is wanting to do wrong, and you say, now don't do that. Don't do that. As a parent, you're saying, you know, we're striving with our children. They want to go this way and we're fighting against it. The Bible says the Holy Spirit strives with man. We could just say so many other things about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. As much as the Father is a person, as much as God the Son is a person. He is called a person. Personal pronouns are used of him. He has the parts of personhood. There are the parts of any person who is a person. Those very things that make us different from an animal. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are persons. The very functions ascribed to a person, only to a person. Speaking, hearing, praying, teaching, forbidding, comforting, guiding, witnessing, striving, quickening, the memory, calling, are attributed to the Holy Spirit. There are relations that a person has with the Holy Spirit that can only be ascribed to a relationship to a person. We've talked about this a little bit. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. It says, ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Resist. You know, it's one thing to resist human authority. But the Holy Spirit can be resisted. Acts chapter 5. And verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You ever been lied to? You ever been lied to? How do you like it? I mean, that's a obvious question, right? I mean, parent, how do you like it when your child lies to you? How do you like it? You go to buy something, you buy it, and you find out they lied to you. You know, you can just hear the words, and they lied to me. Oh, they've lied to me. What an insult, you know? The Bible says Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. Lied to the Holy Spirit. Now, what was I lying? I don't know. In the circumstance, it must have been that the Holy Spirit said, Ananias, I want you to give all of that that you got from that sale. I want you to give it all. And Ananias said, okay, Lord, I'll give it all. And then when it came down to it, he didn't give it all. He lied to the Holy Spirit. Now he lied to the church. But he lied to someone bigger than the church. You know who he lied to? The Holy Spirit. You know, well, we lie to God a lot, don't we? People lie to God a lot. I remember Grant Rice used to tell me, he says, you know, there's one particular person, earthly person, that people lie to more than any other person, and that's they lie to preachers. Preachers lie, people lie to preachers more than any other person. But I think there is another person we lie to more than preachers, and I think it's God. We lie to God. But you know, we don't think about God the way we ought to. We don't think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, and we say, yes, praise the Lord. But we didn't mean it. We lied. Next time someone lies to you, and you feel just treated like less than a person, think about how many times we lie to the Holy Spirit. But you know, it doesn't mean much to us because we don't think of the Holy Spirit as a person, do we? Ephesians 4:20-30, it says, grieve not the Spirit. Well, you know, if you're a parent, you know what grieving is. You know how your heart grieves when your children don't do what's right. You take it personally because you are a person. They are your children. But the Holy Spirit's a person. He's not an it. You know, a dog. You can say something bad to a dog, you know, but a couple hours later, next day, they see they're wagging their tail. They're not a person. God's a person. Holy Spirit's a person. He's grieved. We think about a person. We think about a relationship to a person. You can name any person, and you can ask the subject, well, what kind of relationship do you have with that person? You know what I'm saying? That's pretty simple. You know, a husband and wife, they can talk about their relationship. You know, you can ask them what kind of relationship do they have. You know, they talk to one another. They care about one another. They think about one another. You know, what kind of relationship do they have? You know, you can think about the relationship between a father and a son. It can be distant, it can be close, it can be very weak, it can be very strong. You have a relationship. What would be the difference? What would be the difference? Well, what about this fella, you know, who never talks to his wife? What about this fellow who treats his wife very poorly? What about this person who never listens to his wife? I mean, we could go on. We'd say, well, a pretty poor relationship. Right? What about the Holy Spirit? If a person is ignoring the Holy Spirit, if a person grieves the Holy Spirit and they don't even care. You know, here we go. Let's make it practical. Here's this person and they just whoosh. You know, they just let go of this bitter talk. Rah, 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 rah. You know, all this bitterness. Just flows out of their mouth. They can't have much relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because he's grieved by bitterness, isn't he? He's grieved by bitterness. This person lies. This person says all these unkind things. Doesn't even faze him. You know, someone says, I just heard what came out of your mouth. No big deal. No big deal. Well, what kind of relationship does that person have with the Holy Spirit? I mean, there's a couple questions. The question, number one question is, does that person even know the Holy Spirit? Does that person even have the Holy Spirit? Is that person even saved? They can't have the Holy Spirit in them if they aren't saved. Or have they been so belligerent and uncouth and hard to the Holy Spirit, that their relationship is almost next to nothing. You know what I'm saying? Next to nothing. You know, it'd be hard. It's sad to think about, but a man, husband and wife can have such a bad relationship that anytime the wife says something, the man gets angry. Or if she says something, he purposely ignores it. You know what I'm saying? But what kind of relationship does a Christian have with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit tries to reprove them and they get mad? What kind of relationship do they have with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit tries to say something to them and they shut them off? What kind of relationship? What kind of relationship does a person have with the Holy Spirit if they got this wall? They got this wall. They don't listen. They don't read their Bible. They don't listen to preaching. They got this wall. So our question today is, what is our relationship to the Holy Spirit? You have a vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit easily convict our heart of sin?
Yeah.
Easily convict a heart of sin. Do we sense when we say something? Do we sense grieving the Spirit of God? Do we immediately say, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. I know I grieved you." On the positive. Is our relationship with the Lord so vibrant that as we read the Bible, its truths are just flowing through its pages? Are we conscious of Him when we go to the store? Soul behind that counter? Are we conscious of our obligation to that soul to talk to them about Jesus? Are we conscious of the fact that if we say no, there's this sense and tremendous disappointment because we said no to God? Is there that sense that wherever we go, the person of the Holy Spirit is there? As a baby Christian, maybe these are kind of childish talk, not as accurate as theologically accurate, but you know, the Holy Spirit. How do you think that He likes participating in some of that stuff on social media? How do you think the Holy Spirit likes smoking a cigarette? Do we think of the Holy Spirit as a person? That we take Him with us everywhere we go? How do you think the Holy Spirit likes that movie house? Think He just loves it? Loves the previews? Loves the filth? Holy Spirit love that? No. Holy Spirit, He's a person. We take Him with us wherever we go. I mean, the Holy Spirit literally isn't going to smoke that cigarette, but maybe He's coughing. I don't know. But we take Him there. We take Him with us. And if you're in the wrong crowd, you just took the Holy Spirit with you. a personal relationship. Do we think of the Holy Spirit as a person? Do we think of Him as the third person of the Trinity? Are we conscious of His presence? Are we careful to please Him? Do we anxious to listen to Him as He speaks to us through the Word of God? How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Is it broken? Is it so broken that it's been a long time since you heard His voice? It's so broken that you never feel the grieving of the Spirit when you say bad things. It's broken. Is it vibrant? Is it vibrant? Is it so real that something that nobody would think would be bad the Holy Spirit doesn't like it? And you feel His grieving. An intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, who lives within us. Very much a measure of a lot of things. His presence is a measure whether we've been saved or not. You point to the day which you repented of your sin, turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. You call upon Christ to be your Savior. And you know what? Things were really different after that. Yeah, because a person came to dwell within. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within. He's real. You know, He's invisible, but He's real. Because we can't see Him doesn't make Him less than a person. What is our relationship? Is it real, vibrant, living? Is it intimate? Is that relationship suffering? You know, sometimes we've had a course on soul winning. I remember one course I had on soul winning. The first lesson was that this week, I want you to write down on a 3x5 card just one time that you listened and obeyed the Holy Spirit. That was the lesson. Write down one time a day that you listened and obeyed the Holy Spirit. You say, what kind of lesson is that? You say, how could that be a soul-winning lesson? Because actually in soul-winning, the number one issue of soul-winning is listening and obeying the Holy Spirit. And if a person doesn't listen and obey the Holy Spirit in their daily life, how could they ever be a witness for Christ? You know, it could be a simple thing. You know, you take some clothes out of the closet and a hanger falls down when you take your clothes out. Holy Spirit could say, pick up that hanger. Right? Because him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And you know, you could either say yes to the Holy Spirit or you could say no, right? But it's amazing the difference in your life when you say yes to the Holy Spirit. Because when you say yes to the Holy Spirit in the little things, it is for sure you're going to say yes to the Holy Spirit in the, not for sure, but pretty good chance you're going to say to yes to the Holy Spirit in the big things, right? But the person who doesn't say yes to the Holy Spirit in the big things is probably not listening to the Holy Spirit in the little things either. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's real. And you know, our relationship with God is a moment-by-moment relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today that we can be reminded of this wonderful, marvelous truth of you dwelling in us in the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's a marvelous, overwhelming thought. Lord, I know that this little expose has done very little justice how great it is to have the great God of heaven, the third person of the Trinity, his third person of the Trinity, to dwell within us. And now, Lord, we pray as a result of this message, there will be those who reconsider their real relationship with you. An inward, moment by moment, reality, a relationship with the living God through His Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that even today, as a result of today's message, we would be reminded and be more conscious of your very presence, of your holy presence, of your Holy Spirit. That we will turn from being cold and hard-hearted to aware, listening, obeying. A vibrant relationship with you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and Lord, to speak to your heart as a believer. You know that you're saved. You know the Holy Spirit is living within you. It's amazing, amazing truth. But you say, you know, my relationship with the Holy Spirit of God is not very vibrant right now. It has gotten distant. It has gotten cold. In fact, maybe you'd have to say, boy, the Holy Spirit has gotten so distant, I can't hardly tell His voice anymore. Maybe you don't even hardly hear Him reproving you. You can do almost what you will and you don't hardly come under conviction. You say the Spirit of God, my relationship with the Holy Spirit, certainly is not what it ought to be. It's not vibrant like it ought to be. I can sense that it's dull. I can sense that it's somewhat distant. And the Spirit of God has encouraged you today to get your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, right in your life. And you say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken to my heart. It is the Spirit of God even now that I am aware of trying to speak to my heart. And I need to start off today saying yes to the Holy Spirit. And you say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken my heart about that intimate, real relationship with the Holy Spirit that I ought to have and how it ought to be in my life. Anyone here today, just raise your hand and say, pray with me, okay? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? My relationship with the Holy Spirit is very distant. I don't hardly hear His voice. I can do a lot of bad things, say a lot of critical, harsh, even lying things. And it doesn't really seem to faze my life. I don't even sense the grief of the Holy Spirit. I'm far, far away from God, Pastor. I'm far, far away from God. God is speaking my heart today. I am far from God. And I need to repent. I need to repent. I don't even know how much I need to repent, but I know I need to repent. I'm far, far from God. Pastor, would you please pray for me? I'm far from God. God is speaking to my heart. I realize I am far, far from God. Would you pray for me? Anyone here, just lift up your hand. Be honest, humble enough to say, I'm far from God. Far from God. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor, you can talk about the Holy Spirit all you want. But to me, religion is just a bunch of do's and don'ts and outward things and this and that. You say, you know, I doubt that I'm saved. I doubt it. I can't point to a living relationship with a living God through His Holy Spirit. I am lost. I'm yet under the penalty of my sins. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved from my sin and become a child of God and have the Holy Spirit. What a great thing that would be. Have God living within your soul. Pray for me. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. I can pray for you. I can't save you, but I can pray to the God who can work in your heart. Anyone here today? Lord, now we thank you for the opportunity to speak of the one who will lead us to adore, obey, glorify Jesus Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts today. Thank you for decisions. Thank you for the privilege of making this subject awareness of this very important issue. And I pray that even today, after today, the people of God would be helped in their relationship with you. May our thinking have been in measure corrected. And I pray, Lord, that those today who have determined to renew their relationship with your Holy Spirit as it ought, I pray that even today, and whatever way it is tested, they would obey you. And Lord, they will find that your voice becomes clearer and sweeter, and they will hear it more often than ever before. And so, Lord, use this message for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.